There is no question that child abuse and neglect is a terrible thing that can have long-lasting impacts, even ruin the entire lives of child victims. There have been many efforts by governments, other organizations, and individuals to put an end to child abuse. While everyone should want to protect children from child abuse and neglect, Ontario law has made it mandatory for everyone in a job that relates to children to report suspicions of child abuse and neglect to a Children's Aid Society. But many people have questions about what legal obligations they might have to report child abuse. So this episode answers all those questions about requirements to report to a Children's Aid Society. I'm John Schumann, a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I'm also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and in fine bookstores. Children's Aid Societies are not like the police in that they do not go out patrolling looking for child abuse and neglect. Even if they did, that would not help, as most cases of child abuse and neglect happen in private, where people can't see them, and leaving only sometimes vague indications of what had occurred that could not be picked up by people unless they had some first-hand knowledge of the kids involved. For that reason, Children's Aid Societies rely on people bringing their suspicions forward. Most commonly, reports to Children's Aid Societies are not first-hand accounts of witnessing horrific child abuse. Most often, it is a series of reports that something strange is going on, that when put together, lead a Children's Aid Society to check things out, and only then learn how much the children have been suffering. Section 125 of the Child, Youth, and Family Services Act requires everyone who has a professional duty towards children to report suspicions of child abuse or neglect that fall into several categories. The duty covers everyone who works with and around children, from lifeguards and sports coaches to first responders to medical professionals to teachers to social workers to babysitters and to daycare providers. If the job involves working with or around children, then there is a duty to report child abuse. The exception is lawyers. Lawyers don't have to report child abuse if they learn about it in the context of a solicitor-client privilege, so that they can give legal advice to the person who mentioned it. But lawyers can still report child abuse in that context if they made it clear in their retainer agreement with the client that they will. The law requires professionals working with or around children to make a report directly to the Children's Aid Society if they become aware of several types of child abuse or neglect. They cannot have someone else report on their behalf. It is not sufficient for a professional to report their suspicions to a supervisor or assume that a co-worker has made the report. The law requires each professional who has a reasonable suspicion of child abuse or neglect to call the Children's Aid Society him or herself. If a professional reports concerns to a supervisor, then that supervisor then also has a duty to report. The types of abuse and neglect that professionals should look out for are set out in Section 125 of the Child, Youth, and Family Services Act. The types of concerns are quite broad, and they include the following. Physical abuse, hitting, slapping, burning, etc., even if it may be part of a course of discipline, as what is permissible under criminal law may not be for child protection law. Physical harm caused by a caregiver's failure to properly care for or supervise a child. Physical harm caused by a pattern of neglect. Any risk that a child may suffer those types of physical harm in the future. Any sexual abuse or exploitation of a child, or any act or omission that may put a child at risk of being sexually molested or exploited. Any failure of a caregiver to prevent a child from being sexually abused or exploited. Where a child has been subjected to child sex trafficking. Where there is a risk that the child will be sexually abused or exploited in the future. Whenever a person with care of a child refuses or fails to get adequate medical treatment for that child. Where the child is at risk of serious emotional harm that's characterized by anxiety, depression, withdrawal, self-destructive behavior, or delayed development. Note that it is not any type of emotional harm, but just emotional harm that is so serious it causes one of those five types of long-term problems. One of the most common causes of this type of emotional harm is where a child is exposed to adult conflict or domestic violence. The refusal of a caregiver to give assistance for a child who is at risk of the type of serious emotional harm that I just described. The child suffers a mental, emotional, or developmental condition, and the caregiver refuses to get assistance for the child. Where a child is abandoned. Where a child less than 12 years old has killed or seriously injured another person or done serious damage to property, and the person looking after the child fails to get services or treatment to prevent a recurrence of that behavior or even encourages that behavior. If a professional working with children is not sure whether to make a report, then he or she should report and let the experts in child abuse and neglect at the Children's Aid Society decide whether an investigation is warranted. Alternatively, it is possible to make an anonymous phone call to the Children's Aid Society and ask if it is necessary to make a report based on what the caller knows. Professionals do not have to be certain that child abuse or neglect is occurring to have a duty to report to the local Children's Aid Society. They only have to have reasonable grounds to have a concern.
Oh.
That concern is not even that abuse or neglect is actually occurring. All the concern has to be is that the child is at risk of suffering abuse or neglect, as I just described. If any professional who assists children has reasonable grounds to believe that a child is at risk of abuse or neglect, then that professional has a duty to report. To give an example, a professional does not need to see suspicious bruises to have a duty to report. All that is necessary is a parent or other caregiver threatening to hit a child to trigger that duty to report. In addition, reporting once is not sufficient if the professional becomes aware of additional incidents of child abuse or neglect after the first report. Section 125 sub 2 of the Child, Youth, and Family Services Act says that a professional has a duty to make a further report if the professional becomes aware of further abuse or neglect. It is not sufficient to just rely on the first report. A professional must make a report each time they have a new suspicion that a child has been abused or neglected.
Oh.
Professionals do not have to give their names when they make a report to a Children's Aid Society. Anonymous reports are fine, and they do fulfill the duty to report suspicions of child abuse or neglect under the Child, Youth, and Family Services Act. Sometimes it can be better to report anonymously because the professional does not want a parent or other caregiver to avoid calling them for help in the future. When a professional reports anonymously, it is important to keep a record of the report to avoid getting in trouble, as there's a possibility of being prosecuted for failing to report. When making an anonymous report, a professional should ask the call taker at the Children's Aid Society for his or her name or other way to identify and record that the call was made. Then the professional should keep the notes of the call as proof it was made, or complete an incident report for his or her employer for that same purpose. Professionals often worry that reporting to a Children's Aid Society may be a breach of confidentiality or privacy rules. That is not the case. Section 125 of the Child, Youth, and Family Services Act says that the duty to report exists even if the information provided is confidential or privileged. That specific law overrides other privacy legislation or confidentiality rules. Professionals who have a duty to report suspected child abuse or neglect face serious consequences if they do not comply with their duty. The maximum penalty for a professional who fails to report suspected child abuse or neglect is $5,000 per incident. In addition to a fine, the provincial court may require an offender to pay costs to the court or a victim fine surcharge. In addition, a professional who failed to abide by the duty to report child abuse or neglect can incur the cost of hiring a defense lawyer or the time missed from work to go to court. Some professional colleges may impose additional penalties where the failure to report also breaches professional standards. Professionals also read that they could face some sort of civil liability for damages if they make a report that turns out not to be correct. Many families find it very upsetting to be investigated by a Children's Aid Society. However, Section 125 sub 10 of the Child, Youth, and Family Services Act says a professional can only be sued for making a report if that professional made the report maliciously or without reasonable grounds to believe that the child was being abused or neglected. Acting maliciously means to act knowingly that the report is false and with the intention of causing harm or upset by subjecting the family to a Children's Aid Society investigation when there has been no abuse or neglect. Professionals can also face civil liability if they do not have a good reason to believe that abuse or neglect has occurred or could occur. This happens when a professional is overzealous in reporting or makes the report out of a perceived bias against the parent rather than looking at the situation objectively. Still, in considering the types of suspicions that trigger the duty to report, it is clear that the degree of suspicion is very low to trigger that duty to report. Professionals have an absolute and important duty to report each time they have a good reason to believe a child has been abused or neglected. When the professional is not sure whether the suspicions is strong enough or that the abuse or neglect or the risk of abuse or neglect is serious enough, the professional can make an anonymous report to the Children's Aid Society to get advice on just that. But reporting suspected child abuse and neglect is one of the most important duties of professionals who work with or around children, because without those reports, children may suffer terribly. If you need some more general family law or children's law guidance, or you need to understand Ontario family law better so you can make better decisions, if you need to know the best parenting options after separation, or if you need help with a child protection issue, or you need to understand how finances work after separation and divorce, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. You can access it immediately on the iBookstore, on Amazon for the Kindle version, or you can download it for Kobo. Amazon can deliver the paperback version directly to your doorstep. You can also get a lot more Ontario family law information on www.shumanlaw.ca. Not only there are hundreds of pages of family law information and links, but there are links to get my book and links to reach my office to meet with either me or one of my colleagues. You can also set up an appointment to speak with us by calling 416-446-5847. It is always best to get a lawyer who can give you expert advice to your situation. In addition to my website, keep up to date on family and children's law issues by liking my Facebook page, following me on Twitter at @SchumannFamLaw, and finding me on LinkedIn. Of course, please subscribe to my YouTube channel and hit the notification bell to keep up to date. You can also get the audio versions of the Ontario Family Law Podcast on all major podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many more. Or you can get all the episodes at www.shumanlaw.ca. Just look for podcasts in the drop-down menu. Thanks for participating in this podcast. We will get together again soon.